Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational digital magazine for women since 2006. You may also be familiar with Inspired Living Publishing and many of my other inspirational brands that are dedicated to just one mission, to remind women of the truth of who they are and to encourage them to live from the inside out. And I love bringing you conversations with women who have, you know, walked the path ahead of us, right? They've had life experiences and found their way through and are now teaching others and inspiring others. Today's guest is Chris Ferraro, international energy coach, author, and speaker. She left a lengthy career as a traditional counselor in social services to teach energy practices she uses for her own well-being. Chris is a true believer in everyone's innate ability to heal, including crippling anxiety. A former punk rock radio DJ and performance artist, it was in releasing her own severe social anxiety that she was finally able to uncover her true purpose and share a message of hope and possibility. She frequently speaks to diverse groups on how purpose, faith, and balanced energy are the ancient antidotes to modern stress, which is caused by our current climate of uncertainty. We're all feeling that, I'm sure. A practitioner and teacher in the areas of healing, personal growth, and metaphysics, Chris created Spiritual Freedom Techniques, which is a series of processes that combine spiritual principles with energy flow for transformation. And I was excited and honored to share her new book, which is her first book, Energy Healing, Simple and Effective Practices to Become Your Own Healer, which I recently featured in Aspire's Top 10 Inspiring Books list. And Chris, I am so excited to have you here today.
I am absolutely thrilled. I have been a big fan, and you have been a teacher for me in many ways for so many years, so it's truly an honor to be here.
I love how the divine just connects us at just the right time. When I saw your book come out, I'm like, oh, I have got to get her on the show, and I just love what you're doing. I love your personal story, because, you know, as we just read, I'm like, what? Former punk rock radio DJ? And here you are, transformational leader, teacher, healer, and coach. Why don't you bring us back to the journey that started it all?
Well, I was someone who was certainly born highly sensitive and empathic. And like many of us, I was born into an environment that just wasn't particularly sensitive. I was the youngest of four children, born late in life, into a very rambunctious household. And so I was very much inundated with sensory information that was very hard for me to handle. And when I was eight, I went through a series of tests, and I was moved from my regular school into a school that was for child geniuses. And I was not a child genius. I was a fairly smart kid, and I also had several learning disabilities that this was the 70s. They weren't known about. They weren't diagnosed. I wasn't getting any help for. And when I was in a mainstream school, I was able to get along. And once I was moved into this school where children were being groomed for Ivy League, and I was certainly not being groomed for that, I started to develop a severe anxiety condition. So it led to multiple sleepless nights, feeling a lot of digestion problems that people with anxiety like myself get, sick to my stomach. I couldn't keep up with the volume of work. It was a super high-pressure environment, which is not really good for highly sensitive people and kids in general. And this thing that I had been pretty good at, which was school, suddenly I was falling really far behind. And so it affected my self-image, and it affected my ability to interact with other people. And I, you know, was also experienced some pretty serious bullying during that time in the new school that I was placed in. And so I really just began to shut down. And later on, that anxiety turned into pretty serious social anxiety. I really believe if I hadn't gone on the path that I did go on and do all the work that I have done, that I probably could have turned into someone who is agoraphobic, like one of those people that is unable to leave their home, because I could not return phone calls. I couldn't ask or make simple requests of anyone. I share that when I was going through traditional therapy, I would go to this restaurant, you know, prior to my session with my counselor, and I would order a salad, and the salad came with raw mushrooms on it, which I just was not a fan of. And every week I would try to bolster the courage to ask for the person behind the counter to leave the mushrooms off of my salad. And I would try to talk myself into it. I'd say, well, you're not inconveniencing them. You're actually saving them a step, and you're actually saving the mushrooms because you're just going to end up throwing them out. And I tried to be very logical and pragmatic with myself about it. And each week my heart would begin to race. Sweat would begin pouring down my temples and my armpits, and I would almost go into a full-blown panic attack simply trying to ask someone to leave mushrooms off my salad. So it was very, 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 very serious. And I was going through traditional counselor with a very, very good therapist, but I wasn't seeming to correct the pattern of anxiety that was really ruling my life. And so, and the truth was, I never actually was able to ask for what I needed from the people behind the counter. And so it affected every single aspect of my life. And meanwhile, I had been a college radio DJ. I had done performance art while I was working in social services. Anyone who's ever worked in social services knows you always have to have a side gig. So
yeah.
You got to make money from something else. And so I was doing performance art. I became a spoken word poet, and I had started writing poetry when I was 8. And it was this very fulfilling creative outlet for me, but I would be sick for a week before a slam, which is a spoken word poetry competition. And I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't eat. I would be fretting and worrying about what was going to happen. There were times I'd get on stage and my voice would completely freeze, which is every anxiety person's worst nightmare, right, is to go through that in front of a public, in a public setting. And I felt so creatively fulfilled, but so compromised emotionally by the process that I quit, even though I was pretty good. And so I gave up lots of things that were important to me because the cost of how it was affecting me was just far too traumatic. And I just couldn't figure out my way out of it. I'd been on a spiritual journey really since I was a very young child. I was one of these weird little kids that talked to the saints. And when I was 16, I really started a real pursuit in self-help. I was probably the only teenager hanging out in the self-help sections of bookstores. And I was always looking for the answer, you know. So I was trying everything that I could to try to fix myself and try to heal myself. And it took me a long time till I found some practices that really made the difference in this area of my life.
It's so funny because when I, you know, got to know you a little and the book, I said, wow, how many people, and I've struggled with anxiety, and I have family members that have social anxiety and other elements. How many women listening right now can relate to everything you're saying? Maybe they weren't a performance artist, but maybe when they have to speak at their job or get up in front of, you know, their boss and do a presentation, they experience what you have. And how many women listening right now, Chris, and in our audiences, who know that they're not doing the things they love?
Yes.
Because of their anxiety. So the reason I wanted you on the show is I believe in the power of energy healing. I believe all of the metaphysical gifts that others have to share, I know it can work. You know, so I've done Reiki, and my 19-year-old grandson struggles with social anxiety. It's gotten better. But since he was a young boy, I'd do Reiki on him, and I'd give him affirmations and other things. So the work you're doing in the world first, thank you, because it is so darn needed with this climate of uncertainty, as I mentioned.
You're absolutely welcome, and I have to tell you, this is a mission for me. It's so much more than just a career. It's a ministry. It's a vocation. It's the reason why I get up in the morning, because if I can help anyone to get out of this kind of fear and this kind of crippling suffering that comes with it, I'll do anything I can to get the message out to anyone who's willing to hear it. So I'm so appreciating that I'm doing that right now with you.
I love hearing that. Even when I started Aspire, I didn't know what I was doing. But like you, I had a passion. And I said when I released that first issue, and I still say it 13 years later, six issues a year, I just do a mantra. May one word, one sentence, one paragraph contain the wisdom or piece of information to support just one woman on her path of healing and transformation. I just thought, let me help one woman. And look at where we are 13 years later, Chris.
Incredible.
So I see this for you. I see this for your message, because I can feel your passion and because you've lived through it. You can relate. So when we come back from our first break, we're going to dive in to this even more. So I am with Chris Ferraro of chrisferraro.com. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
We can all use a little more peace and joy in our lives. Don't you agree? Counselor, best-selling author, and self-nurturing expert Kelly Grimes of CultivatingPeaceAndJoy.com is passionate about empowering overwhelmed and exhausted women to live with more peace, joy, and meaning through the practice of self-nurturing. Through her experience working with individuals, speaking, providing workshops, and teaching professional and leadership development to forward-thinking organizations, Kelly knows that nurturing peace in the world begins from the inside out. That's why she created the free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app that brings you beautiful self-nurturing reminders, guided meditations, empowering practice tools, and daily prompts with an inspiring question to guide your daily self-nurturing practice. Download your free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app today at cultivatingpeaceandjoy.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is best-selling author and energy coach, Chris Ferraro. So, Chris, when you were on that journey and you, you know, started dabbling with energy and metaphysics and all of that, when did you feel the shift within you that you said, this works? Was it a moment or was it an unfolding?
It certainly was an unfolding. I was working part-time for a hypnotherapist who had been a real gift to me in many ways. She had introduced me to affirmations. She had taught me about the power of the subconscious mind. And then she learned about EFT, otherwise known as tapping, and she didn't even tell me what it was, but she said, I want to try this thing with you. I was complaining about my romantic life. I think she was probably just tired of hearing me complain about it. And she said, let's try this thing. And so we started tapping, and I'm describing my romantic woes, and I'm saying, wait a second, you're the person that, you know, taught me about affirmations. And she said, listen, I don't know how this works, but it works. And so I went from anger to sadness to grief, and at the end of the tapping, I was laughing about it and felt more hopeful. But it was only maybe a year or so later where I realized that that pattern in my romantic life had completely changed. How I felt had changed, who I was attracting into my life had changed. And so then when I discovered that it was EFT, I began studying it. And there may be some people listening who may relate to this. I spent a lot of time studying and less time practicing in the beginning. So I went to a lot of workshops. I was a big-time workshop junkie. I read all the newsletters. I read all the books that I could find on it, and I was trying to immerse myself in it. I wish I had spent a quarter of the time doing that and the other 75% of the time actually tapping for myself. But once I started tapping for myself, I found that I was not reacting to common things in a way that I used to. I had a severe phobia of caterpillars, believe it or not, and it was a severe phobia. I couldn't look at an illustration of a caterpillar, let alone one in real life. And one day I was out going for a hike, and I saw a caterpillar, and I felt fine. So I realized that something had changed, but it certainly was in increments, and I think that a lot of energy work has a cumulative effect. The more you do it on a regular basis, the better you feel, and the greater the effects. So there were certainly aha moments. I worked on releasing my traumatic bullying experiences as a child, and I worked on many traumatic experiences that I'd been through in my life, and those I could see immediately that I had neutralized the pain and the traumatic energy around those experiences, but it was in the living it as a lifestyle where I could see the real effects.
And I love that you brought up, you know, immersing yourself in the workshops and all that. We're all guilty of that, right? But never
immersing ourselves. Because we're seekers, right?
Yeah.
We're curious. We're hungry for this stuff, you know. And I learned so much. I'm so grateful for everything that I learned. For me, I had to go from being a studier to a doer.
Exactly. I think for healing to happen, we have to do that.
Absolutely. Right. Otherwise, it just stays in the mental process, and it's so important to move it into our whole energy field, which includes our body.
So is that when you became an energy coach?
I left social services after 15 years because I was unable to bring these practices to my clients in that setting. It just wasn't accepted, and it became a real feeling of being out of integrity with what I truly knew to be true, because I didn't want to just help myself. I wanted to help the people that I was serving, and I was working with at-risk children and families. And so when this stuff was really starting to work for me, I wanted to bring it to them in really sort of soft ways, you know, setting up stress relief workshops that anybody could come to, so it wasn't something they were mandated to go to. And they really love the practices, but the CEO of the company I was working for said, this stuff looks weird and we don't want you to do it. And after that, I said, I'm out. I really realized that I had to go out on a limb to walk out onto that invisible bridge and begin introducing this to people in a way that I think could make a huge difference.
Yeah, I love what you said. It felt out of integrity because you knew you had a tool that could help your clients. And when you're prevented from using it, it would feel out of alignment for me too, because I would feel like I was holding back such a gift.
Yeah, so, and it was painful, right? Because I'm with people that are in great pain and suffering, knowing that I could teach them these things, that they could be doing it for themselves, doing it with their children. And children in general take to energy practices very easily, less so than adults, because they don't have a lot of judgment around it. Anything that makes them feel better, they tend to do. So I knew that it could make a huge difference, and that it could be like the pebble in the pond, that ripple effect could really spread through the communities that they were a part of. And to be prevented from doing that, I had a real crisis of faith, and so I had to make a change.
Well, I know it must have been a hard change, but I'm so glad you did. Everyone that's experiencing your work is glad that you made the change.
Well, I have to tell you, I, for years, was working with clients part-time while I had full-time employment, because the message of the anxiety was, you can't be self-employed doing this, or it would be too scary to be self-employed doing this, and you always are going to have a steady paycheck coming in. You're not going to be able to handle this, Chris, being self-employed, and here I am, self-employed, doing what I love, and being able to bring this to people in a much more powerful way.
Yeah, and I always believe, and I work with my private clients on this, that when you honor your truth and your soul's purpose, that whisper, I call it soul whispers, right?
Mm.
Everything, you don't have to know the next step. You just have to know the next step and then trust. And it's how I've changed my life from single welfare mom and queen of self-sabotage to where I am today, right?
Wow.
If you looked at my history, or if we looked at your history and judged it based on our history, you'd say, oh, she can't overcome that. And we're living proof that we can, right?
Oh, and it's so true. I could have been a statistic at different intervals of my journey and just been one of those people that gave up on everything. And I will say that you're right. Those soul whispers are so true. And doing the work that I do helped me to be able to trust. So when I would go into fear, when I would go into lack consciousness, I had the tools that at my disposal to make a change in those fears. And so that's, really what enabled me to step out and take a really big risk. And I'm so grateful that I did. The benefits are 1,000 times more than what I could have ever expected.
Yeah, it's a soul freedom. You know,
it's
waking up knowing you're on purpose.
Yeah.
And Chris, a moment ago, you were talking about the stress workshops and all of that. You know, in this day and age, I think everyone is experiencing some level of stress. And, of course, for sensitives, it affects them more. Why is it so hard to talk ourselves out of stress?
I'm so glad that you asked me that because, yes, I can tell you in doing this work and when with discussions amongst colleagues, people are more stressed out than they have ever been, for sure. I think part of it is technology. There's more triggers out there, and our bodies are responding to things we're hearing about as if those dangerous things are happening to us. And what I see where people get tripped up is they try to talk themselves out of it, just like I try to talk myself, into asking for no mushrooms on my salad. You know, I had all of these reasons. And so often when I start working with the client, they'll say, well, it doesn't even make any sense that I feel that way. Or, if they're angry at someone, well, that person was doing the best that they could, particularly those of us that are on a spiritual path, right? We don't want to be in anger or discomfort with anyone. And so we can go to those spiritual lessons that we've learned and, well, no one's my enemy and everyone's on this path together and they're just an aspect of my consciousness. And all of that is true at a very high level. But on a human level, within our human experience that we're having, if we suppress the feelings that we have, they don't go away. And so the stories that we have about our stressor in our minds, right? So that's all of the reasons why we're feeling a particular way. So if we're feeling victimized by a circumstance, you know, the lawyer in our left brain is going to say, this happened to me and this happened to me and this happened to me, and I feel all of these things. The emotion itself is in the entire energy field, which includes the body. So often when we are thinking about, talking about, griping about, complaining about our problems in our lives, we are stuck in our heads and we're not even accessing where the stress is because we're holding it in our bodies. And so that's why we can't talk ourselves out of it, because we're not actually where it's even being held. You know, it's often being held, the three main areas are the throat, the chest, and the gut. So, but it could be held in your big toe. It could be held in the back of your head. And so when we're talking about the story about our stress, we're not actually accessing the emotion itself.
So when we come back from our next break, I want to talk about how do we access it and what can we do to bring about true peace to our bodies and our minds. And we're going to be right back. I'm with Chris Ferraro, international energy coach, author, and speaker. You can learn more at chrisferraro.com. We'll be back in a moment.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Experience a homecoming to your heart. In the foreword of Dr. Deborah Riebel's new book, Being Love, How Loving Yourself Creates Ripples of Transformation in your relationships and the world, Marcy Shymoff shares, the answer to our inner longing isn't finding love, it's being love. The practices that Dr. Deborah presents in Being Love are keys to opening your heart and receiving your divine birthright as a physical manifestation of love. Her techniques, developed over years of successful private practice with her clients and from her extensive training in multiple disciplines, are accessible, compassionate, and effective. Her message is powerful, and if you allow it, will change your whole life. Order your copy of Being Love today at beinglovebook.com and receive over 45 transformational gifts. Being Love is brought to you by Inspired Living Publishing.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, you're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Chris Ferraro, author of Energy Healing, Simple and Effective Practices to Become Your Own Healer. So, Chris, I could really relate that it's not really possible to talk ourselves out of stress. And for years, mine was my belly, right? So I could relate to that, too. And that's shifted over time. But what can we do to bring about true peace to our bodies and minds? What processes? What's your guidance on this?
The number one thing that I teach my private clients is to start experiencing the emotion in their body temple. So what I encourage them to do, and it's easiest when we're really stressed out or really upset about something. So when the intensity of the emotion is high is when it's easiest to feel it. And I encourage them to close their eyes and to go into the story, which they're already doing anyway. So to go into that monologue they've been saying about why they think they're feeling the way they're feeling, what has been done to them, what has happened to their 401k, whatever it is. And when they go into the story and they're activating the emotion, I ask them to drop out of their heads and down into their bodies to feel where they're holding that energy. And so if they say to me something like, well, I feel in my body anxious, and I say, well, what does anxiety feel like? And then they'll say, oh, well, it feels like my stomach is clenching up, or it feels like my heart is racing, or it feels like somebody's punched me in the chest. So we want to move from the dialogue and the definition of our emotional experience to the sensations that the body is experiencing. And so I help them do that by asking them a series of questions. Where is it? What does it feel like? How big is it? What does it look like? And people will respond in different kinds of ways. People that are very visual may actually see an image there. So they may actually see a hammer, you know, in their gut. Someone who's more kinesthetic will talk about what the sensations are. Someone may actually even hear something. You know, they may hear a message or they may hear something come through. But the act of moving into the body and focusing on the area of where it's held without doing anything, without doing tapping, without doing anything else, breathing and being present to that discomfort, the energy will already begin to move. And the key part of doing that is to not try to make it go away. So it's about moving in and being the compassionate witness to what we're carrying in our bodies and what it feels like. Even if we could only do it for 30 seconds or a minute, that alone will get people out of the feeling of being stuck in something. Because often that's what's happening when I'm working with someone. They've been trying to work on an issue for a long time and they feel stuck. And if they feel stuck, the energy's stuck somewhere. Energy is designed to move. All of our painful feelings and emotions are made out of energy. And when we can be the witness to them and allow them in that space, automatically the energy begins to unravel, it begins to move, it begins to shift. So that's the number one practice that I encourage people to do. And I still do it for myself. When I'm activated, when something happens that's causing me a lot of pain, I get in touch with the story, I close my eyes, I move into my body, and often very quickly now, because I've been doing this practice for a number of years, I can move through that energy and release it. And when the energy is moving and when it's released, how we think about that situation and circumstance changes. So we don't try to create the change. The change in the mind happens automatically as a result of the energy shifting. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes 100% sense, because what I used to do, as I'm sure so many others did, I'd be like, I'm not going to feel this, so I'd stuff, avoid, run away from, etc. And as you and I know, it's going to keep coming back till you face it, right? So, of course, the anxiety would build, whatever the story was. It's almost like fears when I work with my clients with their visibility fears. I think it's a human fear, actually. I call it visibility fears because I work with clients. But if you face what you're afraid of, in this case, the stressor, it almost fades back because it's like, oh, she's seeing me, she's witnessing me.
Yeah, it's letting go of the resistance. Yeah, it's because what we resist persists, right? We know that. And yet, of course, Linda Joy, it's you, me, and everybody else that avoids our pain. It is part of the human experience.
Yes.
It's an automatic thing to go, this feels really bad. I don't want to look at this. This is really scary for me, right? And
exactly.
So people go for happy hour, or they complain to a friend, or they numb out to Netflix, right? And so this is going into, I call it turning back and going into the burning building that is your pain. And when you go into it, what you will find is that when we're not in resistance to it, we can move through these painful emotions very, very, very quickly. That the body knows exactly what to do, and that there's not a whole lot of managing we even have to do. We just have to have the courage to face it. So that is the number one thing that I encourage people to do, whether they're struggling with a physical condition or an emotional one, to face what that is and move into the pain. For people that have long-term injuries or long-term health problems that haven't shifted, where's the energy of that feeling? It may not be in that body part. So if they have a hurt knee, for example, the energy in that hurt knee, they may be carrying in their torso. They may be carrying it in their shoulder, because it's the emotional energy, usually of frustration, hopelessness. I've tried everything. This hasn't. Nothing has worked. And when they resolve that, the physical body then can heal more easily.
I love what you said earlier when you said, and I want to repeat it, that the first step is experiencing the emotions in your body temple. First off, I love the phrase body temple, right? It's like allow yourself to feel, get out of your head and bring it down.
Yeah.
Is it also because it's closer to the heart energy?
I think that it is so effective because yeah, we do have the intelligence of the wisdom of our heart, right? So we now know, even science is telling us, that our heart is a second brain. I think it may be our better brain, to be honest with you, because we all have the monkey mind of the left brain that can tell us all sorts of things. The brain of my heart doesn't lead me astray. You know, it seems to always be right on point. So I think that when we move into the body, yeah, the heart is a big part of it, with all of its wisdom and its ability to know for us more greatly sometimes than our mind does.
So the biggest thing is, and I'll just share from my truth, I read a book or I, you know, go to a workshop. I'm like, oh my God, this is life-changing. And I start it, and then you know what happens, right? I stop integrating it into my day. So how can we get in a consistent pattern of integrating these practices, just like the one beautiful one you just shared, into our day? Do you have any secrets for being consistent?
I do. I always try to couple them with something I'm already doing. This is what has worked for me. So if the first thing that I do is getting out of bed in the morning is to pray, so I will integrate prayer and I will do some tapping on myself while I'm praying, often tapping on what's called the collarbone point in EFT, which is below the clavicle or collarbone on the upper part of the chest, because that is our life force point. So that's a nice thing to get my furnace going first thing in the morning. So I will rub or massage or tap on that point while I'm praying, because praying is something that's already a habit as part of my everyday life. One of the things that I do in the shower are what I call polarity balancers, and I'd love to share a couple of them with you, because our polarity is, when it's balanced, it's when our energy is moving in the right direction. So we've all had the experience of when life has felt really hard and it felt like we were rolling a boulder up a mountain. Often it's because our polarity is reversed. And we've also had the experience of being in the flow, where things just flow and move forward. So when I'm taking a shower, I'm in there anyway, right? I'm waiting for my conditioner to soak in. I might as well do some healing while I'm in there. I do a couple of polarity balancers. One of them is the thymus thump. So I take a fist and I thump on the breastbone or sternum on my body, and that stimulates the thymus gland, which helps with my immunity, and it can also get your polarity going forward. And the second one that I really, really love is I take a flat hand and I place that flat hand over my belly button so that the palm of my hand is over the belly button, and you just lay the hand there. And then I take my thumb and my index finger, and I go to that K27 kidney point that I mentioned earlier, and I massage both points on underneath the collarbone, and then I reverse it. So I take the hand that was massaging and I put it on my belly with the palm over the belly button, and then I take my other hand and I go up and I massage those points. And so I know now that I am starting my day with my energy moving forward. So talk about getting a good start to the day. That can really be helpful. So there's many of these practices that you can do, and if you can find ways to incorporate them in to your everyday life with things that you're already doing, you'll be more likely to do them. It's easier to establish a habit, and then they just come naturally. So if every time you're, driving in your car and you stop at a red light, you tap on the side of the hand point, which is on the fleshy side of the hand under the pinky, I tap it against my steering wheel, is a habit that I've established. So automatically I'm bringing energy to that acupressure point, which is for small intestine. So I'm at the red light anyway. I'm sitting there anyway. I just tap it on there. So there's a lot of ways that you can integrate it in. And in my book, I actually have a full day practice that shows how you can integrate all of the different principles and practices in the book into your day that doesn't actually take any more time than what you would normally be doing those activities anyway.
I love that one with the steering wheel too. That's an easy habit to begin.
Yes. And tapping through the EFT points. So for any of your listeners, you can just go on to Google and put in EFT point charts. You'll come up with a whole bunch of them, some with different points, mostly the same. You're going to the bathroom. Tap through the points and breathe while you're sitting there, right? It's something that you're going to be doing anyway, and it keeps your energy flowing. And when you do these little things that don't take much time at all, that are already integrated into your day, what you'll find is that when the big things happen in your life, when the big stressors happen, when that unexpected bill comes in the mail and you're not sure how you're going to pay it, and all of a sudden there's that reaction in the body, what you will find is there's been a cumulative effect, and you're able to respond from a place of power instead of reacting from a place of fear. So integrating these in can be very, very simple and make a huge difference.
I love it, and those are so helpful. So thank you, thank you. And we're going to jump over to our last break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about EFT for those who may not be familiar with it, just to give a little bit of an overview. And then as we come to a close at the end of the call, I would love to know any piece of wisdom, more than you've already shared, that you want our listeners to know. And we'll be back in a moment. I'm with Chris Ferraro. Her new book, Energy Healing, Simple and Effective Practices to Become Your Own Healer, should be on your bookshelf. Order it now at chrisferraro.com. We'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ladies, it's time to remove the veils of pain, shame, and self-doubt that are smothering your inner light and leave you feeling disconnected from the truth of who you are. You are a radiant, divine woman of strength, love, and wisdom, who deserves to live a life of joy, love, and inner peace. Life and spiritual coach Mal Duane, who is often referred to as the champion for restoring women's self-worth, supports women in stepping out from behind the energetic veils that separate them from the truth of who they are. It is possible to move through your fears, break through limiting beliefs, and release the shackles of shame and self-judgment. And you don't have to do it alone. Take the first step in reclaiming your life by visiting MalDuaneCoach.com for empowering resources and supportive services.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on Om Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Chris Ferraro. And we're talking about energy healing. And Chris, right before the break, I said, oh, let's talk a little more about EFT, because something you mentioned. Do you know, I do this, it's so funny, I do it a lot when I'm on radio shows, conversations. I do that tap on my collarbone all the time, center, right where that little groove is at the bottom of your throat. That's what you meant, right?
Yep, on both sides of that.
Well, here's what's funny. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
And so is it because my body naturally knows that's what it needs? Because it's not like I've practiced EFT. So is it something like now I'm like, oh, my God, so subconsciously my body must know I need it, because I'll do it like sometimes when I'm watching TV. I find myself just doing it randomly. So talk about that one point. What does it help? You said it helps with
corresponds. Yeah, well, that's the thymus. Yeah, the thymus thump is right underneath where the collarbone points are. But often when we're stimulating the K27 kidney points, we're also stimulating thymus also. You could just take a flat hand and slap that whole upper part of the chest, and you'll get both of them at the same time. So kidneys in traditional Chinese medicine are associated with fear. And for many people that are EFT practitioners or tappers in general, will end up having a favorite point. Often the kidney point, the collarbone point, is their favorite. And I think that's because if we look at life as everything is love or fear, that fear alone comprises often how we're feeling. And so, yes, your body does know often what these things are. And when I introduce these practices to people, they'll say, well, I do that all the time. Or before I do public speaking, I will thump on my chest. Or before, when I'm feeling really stressed out, I bring my hand up to my forehead, right? So, you know, in Eden Energy Medicine, we call the neurovasculars that are in the forehead, we call them the oh my God points, because we're more like, oh my God, the hand goes up to the forehead. Automatically goes up to start bringing a calming response to shock. So yes, our bodies are incredibly smart. And so if you find yourself doing some of these things, just appreciate your body for having that wisdom.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because I was like, I'm doing that. So in your book with the practices that you share, there are enough that you share in the book that I noticed that someone will find something that they can relate to and connect with, even if they're just stepping on this path, right? On the spiritual path.
Yeah, this book is designed for absolute beginners, and yet I've gotten beautiful feedback from people who are even professional EFT practitioners or energy workers too. So there's something in there for everyone. When I was writing this book, I wrote it to my teen self. to my teen self who lived a life of great pain and suffering. And I thought, what could she have learned that would have turned her life around in the most magnificent of ways? So it is written from that perspective. So it's even appropriate for a teen audience. And my teen clients love the book. So it's written in a very conversational, gentle style and in a very practical way. So it's absolutely accessible for everyone. And I would say, what I encourage people to do with the practices in the book is to just try them out and see how they feel. I only do things in my own life, whether that's my spiritual life, my energy life, my emotional life, that work, because I'm a pragmatist in many ways. So if I learn something and it doesn't really have an effect for me, I'm not going to do it anymore. So I encourage people to try these things out. Check in with themselves. Try a practice. See how they feel afterwards. Oh, well, I feel a little bit more peaceful, or I feel a little bit less nervous, or I feel a little bit calmer. So to see what works for them and to try those practices out. And I would encourage them, it's very fun to try doing these with a friend, because what we know, you know, from spirituality, wherever two or more are gathered, energy work done with another person is exponentially even, you can feel the effects even more greatly than if you're doing it for yourself, particularly for newbies. So get an open-minded friend and start practicing some of the things in there. You'd be surprised what it can do.
Well, thank you for that. And something you just mentioned segues to the question I had for you. You just mentioned that you work with teens, because I was going to say, back in the days when you were doing social work and for the children, you know, the ones that were really struggling, I was wondering if that carried over into the work you're doing now. So you are working just teens or children too?
Oh, no, no, no. I do work with some children that are younger than teens. But with those sessions, I do have their parents, you know, in the session with them. And I do work with teen clients. But right now, my youngest client is 12 and my oldest client is 82. So I have a big range in there. I work with every age group, but I love my teens because I so want to give them the things that I wish I had at that age.
I had a feeling that your life would come full circle to say, now I will give them exactly what they need because I wasn't allowed to before.
Right.
I'm so glad that you're sharing your gifts. I think the teens, we all need the gifts that you're sharing, but my heart goes out to the teens that are growing up in this world right now and their level of anxiety. I see it across the board, hear it from my clients and their children. I'm like, it's, especially like you said earlier, for the sensitives.
Our teens, because they are all ours,
exactly.
Are living a life that we can't understand, and their pressures and stuff are enormous. So anything we can do to help them, I'm grateful to do it.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you because you shared so many tips. Before we come to a close, because I know so many struggle, especially with the social anxiety, the piece of wisdom that you have that you want to speak to that may give them a little boost of support?
I want to say to everyone listening that you are not at the mercy of your pain, that you are absolutely not at the mercy of your emotional pain. You are not at the mercy of the traumatic experiences that you've been through. You are not at the mercy of a world that does not honor who you are and your sensitivity. And there are things that you can do to retrain your energy field, to retrain your nervous system so that you can feel in a place of calm and safety in a way that maybe you've never experienced. And so please know that there are people like me and many others out there that are doing everything we can to get this information into your hands so that you know that you really are your own best healer and that you can create new patterns of emotional and physical well-being probably more easily than you even realize. So there's a lot of hope out there and a lot of us that are doing what we can to get it out there to you.
What a beautiful message. And, you know, just having the listeners hear your personal story with such authenticity and vulnerability, they'll hear just through that story what's possible for them, right? Because sometimes we say, I can't get over this. I'm never going to change. But when they hear someone that had such severe anxiety, social anxiety as you did, and you've come out the other side, it gives us hope. It gives all of us hope, right?
There
That's why I love these stories.
Yeah. there were so many times that I felt like I was completely lost. And if I wasn't lost, neither is anyone else out there.
Oh, so true, so true. Well, everyone, I want to invite you, go to chrisferraro.com, grab a copy of Energy Healing, Simple and Effective Practices to Become Your Own Healer. Also, spend some time on her blog, learn more about her services, the work she's doing in the world, and you may, maybe you'll see her and catch her at one of her events. Chris, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much. It's truly been an honor.
Well, everyone, I hope to see you here with me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the OM Times Radio Network. You can also catch the show across multiple podcast platforms, including iTunes. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.